Invite you to stand as you are able for the gospel reading. The gospel today comes from the book of St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 35th verse. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Every Sunday that you come to church, but every Sunday we say the Lord's Prayer. Every single Sunday. Now, I actually did some math in the shower this morning because my mind typically wanders in the shower. They really need to invent notepads that you can write on in showers, because my best sermon ideas come there, and I have nothing to write with, and then they're gone. But I did some quick math, and in my lifetime, I have probably said the Lord's Prayer around 600 times. I imagine many of you have said the Lord's Prayer as well, at least hundreds of times, maybe thousands. And I wonder if, like me, for you, the Lord's Prayer is one of those things that has become so habitual, so well known in your mind that you can just say it without thinking it, that you can say it and not even think about what you are saying. That happens to me often. I can tell you that I can say the Lord's Prayer out loud and think of three different things that I have to do in a given day while doing it. That is how habitual these words have become, how ingrained they have become in my mind. Actually, funny story, there became this moment for me. This started in Chicago. I was visiting a man who had been very, very sick for a while. And he was a huge sports fan, so often I would just go over and visit him, and we would talk about the Cubs, mostly. And it was just a nice reprieve from the pain that he was experiencing. But this one day, his wife asked if I would say the Lord's Prayer with both of them at the end. And so I said, "Yeah, absolutely," and I grabbed his hand and started to say the Lord's Prayer out loud. And I was kind of hoping it would be like church, where they would both chime in, except they didn't. And so I got about halfway through and realized I was saying it by myself. And then suddenly I started actually thinking about the words that I was saying. And I said, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And then nothing came to my mind. And I just stood there in silence. I couldn't remember the rest of the Lord's Prayer. And I looked up at this woman, and I had this look in my face that just screamed, "Oh my God, what comes next?" And she said, "Lead us not into temptation." And so I said, "Oh my, thank you." and continued with the Lord's Prayer. And it created this fear inside of me. And I'll tell you, for a couple months after that, I had to start reading the Lord's Prayer from a piece of paper because I was terrified that I was going to forget the words again. We're okay today. But it's still one of those things that I kind of take for granted. Something I say so often that I no longer think about the words that I'm saying. Take, for example, that one famous part, "Give us this day our daily bread." What do you think those words actually mean? When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and that was part of this famous prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is that simply about asking God to feed you? That's how most of us might understand those words. It is simply about God feeding us. But it's actually a bit more. It's not about just being fed. It's actually about trust. It's about trusting that God will feed you. And that's the struggle for us. Trusting in God is not something we are very used to. This happens a lot in the Bible. There's a lot of texts throughout our sacred scriptures that we take for granted. And we've got two stories today, one informing the other. We've got this story in Exodus. The Israelites have been freed from Egypt. They are wandering through the wilderness, a desert, and they are afraid that they are not going to have enough food. And so they start complaining to Moses that they're going to die of starvation. And then God answers Moses and says, "I'm going to feed everybody." But God does it in this very specific way. God says, "I'm going to give every single person just enough food to eat for that day." You see, it's not about simply being fed, but it's about trusting that God was going to feed them the next day. And that's a big deal. If we were to read on in this story, we would find that some people struggle with that trust. They collect more than a day's worth of food. And when they wake up the next morning, they find that that extra portion had gone rotten. They struggled with trusting God. Jesus references back to this story in our gospel reading today. He's dealing with people about 1,500 years later, and they still have that same struggle of trust. They still have that same fear of not being fed, and we've been talking about this the last couple weeks. But again, this isn't a story simply about being fed. It's a story about trust. Jesus says that the bread of life is his flesh. He also says that anybody who believes in him will have eternal life. These people are thinking about food, but Jesus is talking about something so much bigger. Jesus is talking about entering into a trusting relationship with God. Not just a relationship where you get what you want, but you enter into this partnership knowing that God is going to be present in your life. John is referencing this story to communion, to that sacred act where we come and literally eat bread. But again, it's not about simply being fed. It's about trust. Trust that that communion is real, that that communion is the very real presence of God in our lives. It is about trust that God's grace is active in our lives, that it is there, it is informing us, it is telling us how loved we are. It is informing our identity as beloved children of God. And it's trusting that when God says those words, that God means it. Trusting that God really does actually love us. And God thinks we're pretty cool. that we're special, we're unique, we have gifts and talents. It's not simply about being fed, but it's about trusting that that communion, that cross that it informs, is calling each and every single one of us into a new way of life, a life of compassion and love and forgiveness and caring for the poor and speaking out about justice. It's about trusting that if we actually enter into that calling, if we actually do those things, trusting that God means what God says, that it will change our lives, that it will bring us more wholeness, more fruitfulness, more fulfillment, that it will point us to what truly matters in this world, and that we get to experience eternal life here and now. It's not simply about being fed, but it's trusting that God's going to hold up God's end of the bargain and that God is leading us into something much more meaningful than this ordinary life has to offer. So here's the big question for each and every one of you today. Do you trust God? Now we can hear that question and think, yeah, I trust God. I trust that God loves me. That's probably an easy one, actually. I trust that in those moments of absolute dire need, those moments when I have nothing else to do but scream out to God, that in those moments that God is there. That's a level of trust that might be a little easier as well. But how many of us trust God enough to live the life that God is calling us into when things are going okay? How many of us trust God enough to lead lives of compassion and love and forgiveness, care for those who are in need, to let go of the hold that the material things of this world have on us, money and food and bigger houses and nicer cars? How many of us trust in God enough to let go of the hold that those things have in our lives and instead grasp onto what Jesus is calling us into? How many of us actually trust in God enough to know that if we answer this call, that our life might be more fulfilling? Or how many of you are like me and think you can figure it out on your own? I can't tell you how often I forget to ask God for guidance. And I'm the pastor. I'm the ideal. Right? I'm supposed to be the example. I am constantly up here trying to bring out the scriptures and interpret them in a way and encourage you and empower you to bring God into your life. And I can't tell you how many times I forget to do that. We've got a lot of changes coming up here at this church. We've got this new service format coming up next month. That takes a ton of planning. And I have been wigging out on that. Truly. The other night I was really stressing. And then I realized, I haven't asked God for help in this. I stress out about getting you guys to ask God for help, and I forget to ask God for help to get me to help you guys to ask God for help. This happens frequently. My go-to is always my own capabilities. It's always my training in seminary. It's my education. It's my interpretation of scripture that I've learned. It's the demographics and statistics about what people want in church, how to get younger people back into church. I have this plethora of information, and that's always my go-to. And I can't tell you how often I forget to just simply go to God first. And I imagine many of you are the same way. But I'll tell you this. As infrequent as it is, every time I do go to God, every single time, God answers. It's not always in the way I want, and it's never in a way that takes away all of the pain and the struggle and the problems, ever. But God always answers. And it's always in a way that I know that God is walking with me, that God is guiding me. And if I can just listen to what God is saying and respond to that, for some reason, things become better. But that's just me. So I want you to do something for me. As we move on this Sunday, and actually every Sunday that you are here, every time we get to that famous prayer, and every time you say those words, "Give us this day our daily bread," I want you to remember, you're not simply asking God to feed you. You're asking God to continue to feed you, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Trust Him. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
How long?
Please stand as you are able. And let us pray. Merciful God, you open wide your hands and satisfy the needs of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And so, with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.